Solbakken, A Tale of Generations, written by Wendy Jo Serna and narrated by Wendy Jo Serna.
Prologue. I am a soldier. I carry out orders and fulfill assignments because I've been trained to do so, because that is my job, my profession, my life. Or at least it has been. Today I'm not so sure. Today I want to find another life. Or, at the very least, another assignment. I have rarely questioned the chain of command under which I've lived, even under strange circumstances and difficult mandates. You're a man under authority. That is the message my father drilled into me. He was a soldier, too. A man under authority goes where he's been told to go and does what he's been told to do. Why? Because he believes in the justness of his cause. Because he trusts in the higher perspective of his higher-ups. Because he knows he's only a small cog in a much bigger wheel. But my father also told me as he lay on his deathbed, "Son, there are some duties that will haunt you, some commissions that will sift your soul. Fulfill your role, but guard your heart, for from it flows your true life." While he and I were never particularly close, I still miss him, and the advice he gave, which seemed to come at just the right time with just the right message. The rain that has been unceasing for days finds its way under my cloak and down my neck, soaking my tunic. I let it run. The sensation returns my mind to the present, and I am gutted afresh by the realization that Mila is truly gone. How do I endure this yet again? I whisper to the air, hoping for some random tidbit of fatherly wisdom to spring forth from my memory, but nothing emerges. I step back under the large oak tree where the hole has been dug and her body lowered into the ground. It is a peaceful spot. Mila would like it here. The rain on the leaves, the plops dripping onto her face, the smell of fresh grass, wildflowers. The earth I hold clenched in one fist has turned to mud. The gold coin from her necklace, which I grip in my other fist, digs into my palm until I'm sure the visage of the Emperor Trajan will leave its imprint in my skin.
"Not meaning to rush you, sir,"
says the young soldier, standing a respectful distance behind me, away from the hole in the ground.
"But the day is nigh gone."
I have forgotten he is here. No one else has come to grieve with me. Arabella and Damon moved to the south coast years ago with their children. I will, of course, inform them of her passing, for they deserve to know. But all else are gone, who would have or should have come to mourn. And while there are many who respect me in this place, there are none who are close to me or to her. I do not allow it. "Right," I say, finally recognizing that the cloudy gloom of the day has dimmed to murky dusk. I let the damp dirt fall, with a thud, into the hole, and onto the shroud in which she is wrapped. The sound echoes in my mind to other times, other burials, other faces, other lives ended. "Too many," I whisper, "too many."
"What's that, sir?"
"Nothing," I say, taking a deep breath and turning away. "Carry on."
"If I may, sir,"
the young man says as I step back and he steps forward.
"Most folks wouldn't have done all you did for your granddaughter. Mila lived a good life, thanks to you, sir."
I know he means to say a good, long life, but he refrains. They all refrain from those types of comments, but I know they say them. The men under my command, the villagers, the powers that be.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?